for sake of time, I'm just going to go on down to verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. Behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, and they cried, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he said unto them the third time, "Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. I want to look in this chapter, and the thought that I'm thinking about this morning, have been thinking about for several days, is choosing a man, making the right choice, choosing a man. Here in Luke chapter number 23, you find Pilate, the Bible says back in the beginning of this chapter, that this is where the multitude had led him. They had brought Jesus to Pilate. And then Pilate, when he had heard that Jesus was of Galilee in verse number 6, sent him to Herod's jurisdiction because Galilee was Herod's jurisdiction. So he thought that he would send Jesus there and let Herod deal with the people and make the judgment of this man, Jesus. And he was, the Bible said, exceeding glad to see him. He was desirous to see our Lord. And what it was, he wasn't wanting anything from our Lord that was good. He wanted to see a trick. He wanted to see a miracle. That's the kind of man he was. Of all that he had heard of Christ, think about that. That this man is Messiah, Son of God, raised the dead. I mean, who does that? Nobody. That walked on water. I mean, all of the eyewitnesses of the many miracles, so many, so many that the book can't even record them. If books were written, John said, there wouldn't be enough room to record the things our Lord did. They knew of the things that Jesus did, yet he wants to see a trick. He wants to see some miracle. And that's all it was to him. It was like magic. It was like, some good scene, something new that he could pull off. Pull a coin out from behind his ear that wasn't there. I mean, think about, but that's what he chose. He didn't choose the man, Jesus, the Savior. He chose something else from Christ, which was not anything that our Lord was interested in doing. And the Bible said that Herod with his men of war set him in naught in verse 11. Think about this. Our Lord is innocent and is meek and is lowly and as humble as he is. That Herod has his men of war. They're standing. And they begin to mock Jesus. They begin to mock him. They mocked him, and the Bible said that they arrayed him in a gorgeous robe. And I got to thinking about it. I got to studying about that a little bit more. They brought a robe that the word that is a gorgeous means a shining and brilliant. It was white, and it was what the candidates of Rome for governor or any high position, wore when they were to stand before any high council. They clothed our Lord with that such a robe. They were mocking his kingship. He says he's a king. Let's make him look like one. And that's why they threw that robe upon him. Look at how gorgeous he is now. Now he looks like a king. The world, they don't take Christ at his word and God at his word that this is my beloved son. They try to make him into something more pleasant to the eye. Something that they want him to be. There's a lot of religion that tries to make our Lord what they want him to be. Make his word what they want to hear and so forth. I see this picture. It's a great picture. I mean, it's how the world always treats our Lord. They accused him, the Bible said in verse 2, of perverting the nation. We found this man, that never a man spake like this man, him perverting a nation, to misinterpret it. That's what perverting means, to misinterpret, to morally corrupt, to turn away. He never perverted the nation. He never turned away from God's law, not one bit. He never turned the people away from the right way. They even accused him of, they said he stirreth up the people in verse 5. He stirreth up the people. They were fierce. They were insistent to bring some lie against our Lord. I mean, think of all the things that they had said about him. He's forbidding to give tribute to Caesar in verse 2. Saying that he himself is Christ the King. You'll never find one statement that our Lord ever said anything other than render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. He never said, don't give to Caesar. He said, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. and unto God the things that are God's. Amen? And they said he's perverting the nation. He's forbidding to give tribute. This multitude with the chief priest. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. No fault in this man. Now here, this man has the power to do whatever he wants. And it was within his power. The Bible said in verse number 19, who for sedition, he's talking about the other man that was being hailed. Who for a certain sedition. They pinned this on him. They had the goods. They knew he had done this. It wasn't just any sedition. There were a lot of little seditions that happened in that day. But they had pinned the very one. They knew what Barabbas had done. They knew they had the proof. Who for a certain sedition made in the city. He didn't do it out in the wilderness somewhere. He had brought it right into the gates of the city. Where the Roman soldiers were, where Pilate was ruling. Maybe they were going to try to overthrow Pilate, but they were found out. And they said this, and for murder. Not accused, but for murder. This man was a seditionist and a murderer. Guilty. And three times Pilate said, I find no fault in Jesus. He was a man, listen, that they believed in the rule of law, at least the rule of the Roman law. You don't put an innocent man to death. He had the power to turn one loose, and he told them, this man's innocent. I find no fault in him. This man is a murderer and a seditionist. I'm going to scourge this man and turn him loose. Several times he said, I'll chastise him and I'm going to turn him loose. But think about this. The screaming, the rage, the fierceness, that of the mob that one time followed Jesus, praised him when he came through the gate, cried Hosanna, was so warped and stirred in their mind against him because of the high priest. They were the ones telling lies. They were the ones accusing him of that which he was not guilty of. But think about it. They had enough force behind them that it actually caused Pilate to change his mind. I mean, to get a crowd so worked up that a leader who usually would stand there, and if the people didn't listen to him, he'd find out who the main ones were and he'd say, grab that one, and grab that one, and bring them up here and strip them down and beat them and teach them. I'm the authority. But no, he didn't do that. Pilate, when he washed his hands, he did not wash his hands of the innocence of Christ. He was as guilty as those high priests were. There are many people today, listen, please don't, when it comes to Christ, you have to know and always remember, he is all holy. Amen. Sinless, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And he is not the one in the wrong. They tried to place the guilt on him. The world does. It always does. It always tries to point the finger at Christ. He's in the wrong. Away with this man. Away with this man. The nation still today cry loudly, away with this man. There are whole nations that have turned him away and become atheists. They used to have great revivals over in England, and they said, away with this man. All it does is take a crowd that's screaming real loud, that gets real mad and screams real loud. They may not even have the force behind them, but because they're screaming real loud and they're really angry and really mad, it somehow moves those that could make a difference. And we need people that will stand and choose Christ and make a difference. Amen? I like what Brother Brandon had said this morning in his Sunday school. Where were his disciples in all the time that our Lord was facing the things that he was facing? Where were they here? Why were they not out in the crowd as well? Some of his followers saying, that's a lie. They're lying. And they know they're lying. Why wasn't somebody else crying out and saying, he's innocent. He is the Son of God. Amen. We need people today to cry to the world that he is the Son of God. That he is the Creator. That he is the Savior of the world. But when you have people that are afraid to stand and choose the right man. Have found no fault in this man. Three times he told them. Public confession. Documented confession. The words of these men, listen, they just didn't say things just to be saying. Everything they said was documented. It was law. If they said this is what's going to be done, that's what's going to be done. And it was documented. Why? Because they had even others above them that wanted to report, wanted to know exactly what was done, what was said, when, how, and by who. The Bible says, they cried out all at once in verse 18, saying, away with this man and release unto us Barabbas. Away with this man. Release unto us Barabbas. But listen. Divine providence had already decreed, prophesied, that Christ was going to die for the sins of the people. There are some things, listen to me now, you can stand on the right, but it may seem like you get thrown in, overwhelmed. I mean, our Lord, he could have said anything. He could have called 10,000 angels. And they would have come and released him. But he let them say he was guilty. He let them accuse him. He let them do all that they did, and he opened not his mouth. They said, art thou the king? He said, thou sayest it. They said, tell us many times. They said, tell us. He said, if I told you, you wouldn't believe. And even saying those words, thou sayest it. They said, why are we going to stand here any longer? We've heard him with our mouth. It didn't matter that what he told them was the truth. They were not going to heed to it. All the proof was there. All of the miracles that he'd done. All of the prophecies he fulfilled. And yet people still question whether Christ is real. I saw something the other day, some men, they were talking about, and I mean, this is today, in this hour, whether Jesus and his disciples were actually real people or not. That just blows my mind. And they know because of historic documents, they'll admit, many of them, that Paul, the apostle, he was a real person. But not willing to go 60 years back and say Jesus and his disciples, they were also real. You know why? Because they don't want him. They don't want the Father. They don't want the Son. They don't want the Holy Ghost. They love darkness rather than light. And it's because their deeds are evil. Amen. To say that, I mean, he is the very existence of everything. Without him, there is nothing. There is nothing that could exist or ever would exist. He is the very giver of life. Amen. In him was life. That's what the Bible said in John 1. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. There'd be no life and no light apart from Christ. He's the life. He's the light. Amen. And he did. He was made flesh. We preached last Wednesday. He is the very incarnate of God's Word. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. That which God spoke, he is the very fleshly. He's the Word in the flesh. God's Word in the flesh. Life. He rose again. He rose again. Pilate sentenced him as they required. He delivered Jesus to their will. Listen, man has a choice and a will. You either are or you ain't. You'll either choose him or not. You'll either serve him or won't. You'll either reject him or accept him. There's no middle ground. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You're either for me or against me. He wants all of humanity, all of the world, to come to him. Listen, when Christ, it's been said several times, even this morning, Christ really comes into your life, there's going to be something in you that's going to want to be a part of him and everything that he has, a part of his people, amen? You're going to want to be there. You're going to want to be a part of everything that the Lord is doing. if he's in your life, if you've made that choice. And it's getting worse than even it was in Jesus' day when they crucified him. Look what he said in Luke 23. In verse 28, but Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Listen to this. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? See, he was the green tree, that has life. If they'd do it and him standing there, I mean actually standing there in front of them, if they'd reject him and say away with him and crucify him and even get more irate, then what do you think they'd do in him departed? Him not standing here right in front of the world. Worse and worse and worse. And there's not, listen, the world of Christendom, if you want to call it that, seems to think that it's all going to get better and better and better. And everybody's going to finally believe. No, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. It has gotten worse. Just because people get religion doesn't mean they get better. That's actually worse. Amen. Worse. They cried out all at once, saying, away with this man. They chose the wrong man. They chose the wrong way. They cried and said, his blood be on us and on our children. It's amazing when people make the wrong choices, the awful things that they'll say. The awful things that they'll say. Don't even realize the depths of the judgment that they've put themselves in. Man is in darkness. He's in darkness deep. Do you know that? I'm glad that Christ, listen, he still loved them. To the end of their life, to the end of his, he prayed, Father, forgive them. I want you to stand this morning.